a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. Hour number two here. Couple news and notes to pass along real quick, Mace. The Cowboys do put the franchise tag on George Pickens. No surprise there.
Yeah.
The New York Mets have named Freddy Peralta their opening day starter.
Ooh.
No surprise there. He'll go five. Yeah. He'll give him five good innings. He'll give him five, no doubt. Like, that's he'll be good with that. So
that's what he does.
That's what he does.
I thought the Brandon, do you see the Brandon Aubrey stuff where...
No, is there more today?
Some guy, the guy that said that the Cowboys had offered him, you know, $7.3 million deal,
seems like,
you know,
a
year or whatever.
Yeah.
Aubrey's agent and his wife, I guess, went at that guy and like told him he was wrong, and he apologized. Yeah, he said I had misinformation, misspoke.
Oh.
Like, he actually retracted it because, you know, they said that they were going to speak at the combine.
Okay, so, all right, yeah. Interesting.
I wonder, very interesting.
Got to trust your sources, right?
I wonder what he's going to get, man. I think
I know. I wonder who's going to win the elimination chamber too, Mason. I know you're really.
I am worried about that.
Yeah.
Brandon Aubrey would not win that.
You know, you say that, but I feel like he's sneaky athletic.
He is athletic, yeah, for sure. But I'm just not sure.
Like, all right.
I mean, if they wrote it right, like, yeah, right, he could probably
if
do something.
If Logan Paul could win.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, Packers.com, editor, writer, just freshly back, I believe, from Indianapolis, Mike Spoffer joins the show. What's up, Spoff?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
We're doing great.
It's Friday. It's nice out. The weekend's coming. The Packers have terrible grades.
And we would give Friday an A. We would give Friday an A.
Friday gets an A. The Packers we're a little concerned about.
I guess that's where we're going, Spoff. Like, yeah, what do you think of like this whole NFLPA grade that was not going to be released by the NFLPA but is out there in the world for everyone to see? What's your initial take on it all?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, for anyone who thought that this these grades weren't going to get out,
right.
I mean, you know, good luck. I mean, it doesn't take much to you know, to leak it to somebody in the media, and then it's instantly all over the place. So I don't think, honestly, it's a good look by the NFL to try to hide this stuff. I mean, it's like you know, the NFLPA is doing their survey and getting the information from all their players, all the union members, and you know, the league shouldn't be trying to hide from that. But that being said, yeah, the information is out there, and you know, I think there's certainly a couple things that would catch the Packers' attention.
Yeah, what grade would you have given yourself? You know, if you had been on this list, if they had done the Packers.com media, like, what do you think? What grade do you think you would have gotten
Spoff
this year?
Spoff gets an A. Wes Hall,
yeah,
a C minus.
I would have given you an A, Spoff, all day long.
I appreciate that, Mace. I always appreciate the support for the website writers.
That's right. No, I do find it fascinating because I just think how much money the NFL spent on lawyers and like making sure that the NFLPA couldn't officially release it like on their site or like put it out into the world. But
right.
It's still done and like out into the world. So it's like, that was a whole weird thing. And I remember Andrew Brandt said it and I said it right away. I was like, they didn't say they couldn't do it. They just said they couldn't be the ones to release it. It's a whole weird deal, but let's jump into this combine. Cause obviously the Packers not having a first round pick, in this draft. I think almost the combine becomes a little even more important for them to see some of the depth and some of these guys that are going to go into that second, third, fourth round. What do you take away from your experience out there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Brian Gutekunst had some interesting things to say when he met with the media. I mean, you're always kind of trying to read between the lines, right? Because he's not necessarily going to come out and declare anything or announce any plans, so to speak. But you said it, you know, the Packers don't have a first-round pick this year, and while Goody certainly made it clear that you're going to still do all the homework on the guys. You're going to have all the scouting reports on the first round picks and all that, because you never know down the road when, you know, Josh Jacobs is going to be a free agent, or when you're going to trade for Micah Parsons, you know, a first round guy that you didn't draft yourself. So you still want to have the files and the reports on those guys, you know, for the years that they're coming out. But I do think, you know, with the interviews at the combine, which are, you know, a big part of things that, you know, it doesn't get any of the media attention, of course, because there aren't any cameras in those hotel rooms when they're talking, you know, face to face with these guys. I would think the Packers are probably using more of their 45 allotted interviews on the second round, the third round, you know, the middle round prospects, because those are the guys who are going to be available to you. You may talk to a couple of the first round type guys if you're trying to fill in some gaps, but you're going to be using those interviews on the middle round guys and really getting to know them and setting your board, you know, in the middle part of that draft to make sure you really know the guys that you're getting and there aren't any gaps in, you know, your knowledge of them.
Yeah, for sure. We got Mike Spofford on the Mason Crosby Show. You can find him at Packers.com, fresh from the combine. I want to ask you a question, and we might get on into this more with, because this is Tommy's favorite thing. So what do you think about the RAS system, the relative athletic scores for some of these? It's ridiculous. I saw that Sonny Styles had a 10.0 for his RAS. Like, do you lean into those? Like, as you're kind of looking at players that might be drafted to the Green Bay Packers, is that something that you think that is, you know, kind of weighed heavily on some of these prospects?
I mean, I think it's something that's definitely taken into account, you know, but I don't think relative athletic score is something that, you know, that ever takes precedence over the game film and the studying that the scouts do of what these guys actually do on the field, the skills that they have, trying to, you know, I think the RAS maybe gives you a little bit better of an idea, you know, somebody who scores higher in those RAS categories, that maybe gives you a better idea that, okay, what they show on the field maybe has a better chance to translate to the NFL, to translate to the next level when the game is faster and, you know, it's played at a different level than at the college game. But you still got to see a guy who can play the game on the college tape and who shows the foundation and the skills and everything like that. And then that athleticism, the relative athletic score is maybe something that gives you a little bit better of idea of, okay, yeah, this guy is going to be able to project to the next level maybe a little bit better than somebody whose RAS scores are a little bit lower.
Yeah, I love that take. That's exactly how I view that as well. Can you play ball is always the first, you know, first and foremost. And then you just use those to kind of fill in the gap for their potential at the next level. Kind of talking about that next level, the official cap for next year has come out at, what, $301 million, a $22 million jump from last year. What do you see the Packers doing here to try to free up some space? Because as of right now, they're still, I think, a little bit over the cap, to see if they can't add a free agent or two to shore up some of these position groups.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a combination of things. I mean, they're certainly looking at, you know, some of their higher priced contracts, you know, guys like Elton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary. And, you know, I'm not going to make predictions here as far as what's going to happen, but whether it's releasing guys, whether it's, you know, possibly restructuring to lower some cap numbers. And that could be the case with some of the guys that you definitely know are still going to be around, but they can do some restructures to free up some space. So, I mean, you know, it's still, what, a little less than 2 weeks before the official start of the new league year. And you know they're having a lot of conversations with agents and whatnot. That's another thing that goes on at the combine a lot behind the scenes. Is,
yeah, really important, you know, piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah, Russ Ball, you know, he spends the whole week at the combine and never steps in front of a camera, but he's talking to, you know, a lot of agents of the Packers players. And, you know, as they're figuring out what they're going to do with regard to their cap situation for when that bell rings for free agency. So I would expect, you know, one or two guys potentially being released to free up space, and then some other restructures pushing a little bit of money down the road to open up some cap space right now to be able to make some moves. You know, I don't think the cap is going to, you know, hamstring the Packers if Goody sees a move that he really, really, really wants to make. I think they're going to be able to make that move financially.
Well, that's good to hear. I think everybody, yeah, feels good hearing some of that information, just because I think everyone looks at the numbers and it's just like, gosh, like, what are we going to do? We don't have a first round draft pick. You don't have any cap space.
Yep.
Are we just rolling it back with this team? But, you know, there are mechanisms. My question to you, Mike, is our voided years still like a thing in contracts? I know, like, in, you know, 2020, 21, whenever there were some weird things that went on with the COVID years and stuff like that, they started adding voided years onto contracts to just kind of try to push those numbers out. Is that still, like, does that still happen, or is that kind of a thing in the past?
I mean, I would say it still happens. I think teams are trying, at least the teams who are really trying to manage their cap well, I think teams are trying to reduce the number of times that they do that they tack on the void years in terms of how they do the financial accounting with the cap. So I would say it still goes on, but I don't think it's quite as prevalent as it was during those COVID years and the first couple of post-COVID years when you had, you know, you had everything change so much with the cap, and, you know, because the league revenues went down and, you know, from 2020, and everybody was trying to just navigate through those next couple of years without having to cut guys that they didn't want to cut. Yeah. and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, now at 2026, we're kind of past that as far as the COVID stuff. So I don't think teams are doing it as much, but I wouldn't say that it's completely gone away.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's good. Fellas, y'all got anything?
Man, you guys dug deep in there. I was like, that was some good stuff.
This has been on my brain a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just letting Mike fill the voids.
Again, Mason, this is why we love having you on the radio. But, like, with all due respect, like, you are destined for, like, a CEO job with a school or a team or a sports organization, because you get this stuff. Like, you ask the pertinent questions that, like, I think a lot of people don't even realize to ask.
Well, I'm just working in radio until I can go from radio show to CEO of a company. Like, that's the normal jump, I think, for most people.
For NFL players.
Spoff, did you guys get a new table yet for Packers Unscripted? Yes. So, like, it's a little tiny.
I hope not.
On
I
those
hope not.
Pre-game shows.
I was waiting for that question.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, and this is absolutely the truth. They are in the process of finishing a brand new studio for all of the video, audio, podcast, like everything that we're going to be doing. It's in a different part of the building. We're going to have, a lot more, I guess I would say, options available to us in terms of backgrounds and things that we want to do. I haven't even actually seen it yet. They're talking about getting it finished. Just prior to the draft, so they have, you know, a couple more months that they need to put in on it before it's all done. But yes, there is going to be a new look for just about every show, including me and Wes with Unscripted Packers Preview, the whole thing. There's going to be a new look for pretty much every show that we do inside 1265.
Do you think it's fair to say that our show might have contributed to some of that, because we did kind of bully Wes last time?
Yeah, we gave an F minus for studio presentation.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some influence there. The the pleas from the outside radio stations did not go unheard.
Get these guys a real table. Let's go.
So yeah, we appreciate you cranking up the pressure on our bosses to give us a little something more to work with.
All right, well, you're welcome. That's all I got then. You're welcome, Spoff.
I'll give a shout out to the article you wrote at Packers.com recently about the edge rushers and the situation there. As we're all watching the Rashawn Gary situation, I know you guys talked about that. But Goody talking about how excited he is for LVN and Sorrell and Oliver and what's going to happen on defense. Where do you think, you know, whether it's free agency, whether it's later draft picks, where do you think the real focus is going to be for Goody, you know, starting right now, but certainly starting when free agency kicks off?
You talking about edge rushers specifically, or
not necessarily? But I know that you know. But I am pointing to your article that he seemed very happy with his current room. Do you think he'll still look outside the organization there, or do you think he has other bigger priorities and would like to trust his room with edge rushers?
Yeah, I mean, I think he likes what he has there. And again, we all have to see what's going to happen with Rashawn Gary. What's going to happen with Kingsley Anagbari, who's headed to unrestricted free agency, and then a couple of restricted free agents, Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox Jr. So there are a lot of decisions that need to be made. So I think as far as trying to project what, you know, Goody might do in the draft or in free agency at that position, you know, we need to see some dominoes fall there first. I mean, I think, I don't think it's breaking news here to say that the interior defensive line and the cornerback position are two that I think are going to get the most attention this offseason, whether that be free agency, the draft, or perhaps both. Those are spots that I think from a depth standpoint, the Packers need to get deeper at those spots so that they can withstand injuries a little bit better, and those are the spots that I'm really, I guess I would say, looking at more closely as far as the defensive side.
Yeah, and staying on the defensive side, have you had a chance to sit down and have any conversations with Jonathan Gannon? If you haven't, like, what's kind of your initial take from him as we kind of start moving towards this offseason program?
Yeah, we haven't heard from him and haven't had a chance to talk to him specifically at all. So I think all of us in the media are waiting for that opportunity to present itself, which hopefully will be sooner rather than later. I mean, from what I've read and from what I've heard, I think what's really interesting about him is that, you know, he's not going to walk in here and say, you know, all right, well, we're playing a 3-4, we're playing a 4-3. He's fine with looking at his personnel, figuring out, you know, what the guy's strengths are, and then coming up with ways to make some things happen. It's not going to be about, you know, formation and this and that. It's going to be about personnel packages. It's going to be about the roles that you're giving players. And yeah, he's going to need some time to get to know his players, and the offseason program and OTAs and training camp and all that will be part of that process. But I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, he's been around on the defensive side in the NFL for a long time, and he's coordinated some pretty darn good defenses. And I think his biggest task, quite frankly, is figuring out what is the Packers defense going to look like at the very beginning of the season, assuming that you don't have Micah Parsons back just yet, and he's going to miss the first few games of the season. And then where do you go and what do you do with it when you do get Micah Parsons back? There's going to be stages. There's going to be a process to this in terms of how the 2026 defense for the Packers is going to look because of the injury to Micah Parsons and him being your best player on that side of the ball. So I think we're going to see an evolution all the way through the course of the spring, the summer, and then into the fall with what this defense will look like.
I love it. We got Mike Spoffer joining the Mason Crosby Show from Packers.com. Who do you envision? Like, what do you think is going to happen with the special teams coordinator? It sounded like Goody, everybody was, you know, pretty surprised, at least from what they said, that Bisaccia stepped down and said he was going to retire and be done. So what do you see them doing? It looks like they're interviewing a lot of assistant special teams coordinators from other teams. Kind of what's your gut take on the direction they're going to go there?
Yeah, I mean, based on the names that we've seen reported out there that that Matt LaFleur is interviewing, I mean, it looks like he's trying to find that next guy who's ready for that step up from an assistant special team spot to be a coordinator, and maybe a guy that was going to have to wait until next year to get that chance, but he might get that chance now with the Packers because of the surprise decision by Bisacci. I mean, certainly everything that Goody said in Indianapolis, I mean, they were surprised. It's not something that they saw coming. And when you think back, actually, you know, this was sort of the perspective that I took on it. When you think back to a few weeks ago when Goody did his season-ending press conference in early February, which was a little later than normal, but he was talking about the special teams, and he had a lot of really, really good things to say about Coach Bisacci and what he's meant to the culture of the organization and all of that. In retrospect, it almost seems like Goody was trying to convince him to stay. Like, they knew there was a chance that he was going to leave, and those comments that he made a few weeks ago were like, hey, we still want you here. We want you to stick around. And then it didn't work out that way, and Coach Bisacci made the decision that he did. So it's just interesting to put those comments from a few weeks ago in a different perspective, given what Bisacci ultimately decided.
Yeah, I found the timing pretty interesting. You know, his longtime assistant who was there in Green Bay, Byron Storer, goes and gets a job in Cleveland, and then Bisacci announces his retirement. To me, that's not a coincidence, obviously, right? Like, there was some connecting, there that ended up making that decision for Bisacci. But I kind of find that fascinating that, like, Byron Storer goes and takes a head coordinator job. He was in the building in Green Bay. I just wonder, with kind of the culture of special teams there in Green Bay for all these years, sometimes is it a desirable job to take on that coordinator job in Green Bay with some of the limitations that sometimes it seems to be for that coordinator there in that building?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll all wonder, regardless of what decision Matt LaFleur ultimately makes on the new hire, I think we'll always wonder, like, would Byron Storer have been a candidate to take over for Bisacci in Green Bay or not?
Yeah.
And, did Byron was he not really able to wait, on Rich's decision? And when he had an opportunity in front of him, he had to take it. Would he have rather stayed in Green Bay? I mean, those are all questions that we can't answer. I mean, those are questions that ultimately those other coaches will have to answer down the line. But, I think we could potentially hear something pretty soon here if Matt LaFleur has sort of got his list of candidates and maybe he's doing some second interviews and whatnot right now. It may not be too much longer here, and we'll find out what direction they're going.
Awesome, Mike. Well, I appreciate it. I don't know if y'all have anything else, fire away, but really appreciate your time, Mike.
Yep. Mike Spofford, Packers.com, senior writer and editor at Packers.com. Catch all his stuff on all the socials as well. Spoff, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Good to see you all.
Always a pleasure, man.
Mike Spofford joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. When we come back, we're going to jump into the Wayback Machine and look at Mason's past and when he was young and his hair was not salt and pepper yet.
Can we get a picture of Tommy at 7?
Oh, my gosh.
I'll get it.
Watching the game.
I know. I want to.
Love it. Oh, that'd be so great.
Oh, little Tommy.
Little
Thomas. He was Thomas.
Oh, yeah, he was Thomas. Tommy
he was Thomas as a kid, Tommy as a grown-up. It's the normal progression.
He's Thomas. I'm Mitchell. Mason's here. We are the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.